Let's go back to the book of Ezekiel for a moment and find out what it says in his first chapter of the book of Ezekiel, where we see these very same likenesses. Ezekiel, the young, as I was talking recently, Jewish refugee, as it were, actually a prisoner in a concentration camp at the River Kibar, had seen a tremendous sight. Verse 4, chapter 1, the book of Ezekiel. A whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. Now that meant like a tornado enfolding itself in a vortex. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof was the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. Just like we saw right around the very throne of God, underneath this translucent sea of glass, and we know from the fourth chapter of Revelation we are talking about the throne of God. Now in the fifth verse of Ezekiel 1, it said this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. So they're not necessarily the identical creatures, because the ones over in Revelation had six wings, didn't they? Ezekiel only saw four, and their feet were straight feet, meaning that they came right down from an ankle, right tapering straight on into the ground. They weren't bent like men's are, like a lot of people joke about. If you're so much you weren't bent under, you'd be about 6'8" or something, if somebody has big feet. They were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. So they had hoofs, in other words, that looked like the hoofs of a giant oxen. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. So here is a man-like creature with hoofs and yet with wings. And it's rather confusing. How could they have all this appearance at the same time? Now it says a little later on, they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. And you get the picture of four of them standing there, wingtip to wingtip, touching just barely, as if they were some kind of a flying apparatus with all of this decoration around it. And they went, every one straight forward, it said in verse 9. They turned not as they went. Verse 10, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. All four of them had four faces, and each of the four appeared as four different creatures, depending upon which direction you looked at them. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. Then he describes the burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamps that seemed to go up and down among the living creatures. Some people have thought this is the explanation for UFOs. Some people have thought this is a creature of some sort, some kind of a flying apparatus from outer space. People wonder, what is this business about these wheels? We'll see a little later on. Now it said the living creatures ran and returned so rapidly that it said in verse 14 it was just like a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. Verse 16, Ezekiel 1, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl, meaning a very polished, brightly shining, deep, semi-precious stone. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Now that's interesting. The only wheel in the middle of a wheel I think of that might have to do with travel through the air is a gyro. I fly, of course, and as a pilot I'm aware that I have several gyros in the aircraft, like even some backup systems. And that's a wheel turning within a wheel, which can bring about a very instantaneous reaction of the slightest sensitivity to motion in one direction or another to keep somebody flying straight and level. At least you have to wonder, what is the meaning of this wheel within a wheel? And it said in verse 19, and when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Now you talk about a mind-boggling, very strange, mysterious group of scriptures here, where Ezekiel, and he was an ancient man, you know, he just wasn't used to being underneath the landing patterns of 747s. He hadn't seen helicopters. He hadn't seen rockets taking off or aircraft with their landing gear tucking up. And what is he describing? Is he describing some modern conveyances that are actually machine-made and man-made? Well, not really, or maybe he would have used different terminology. He's describing something that is spiritual in nature, something that he saw in vision, or maybe he saw it actually, who knows? And it talked about a firmament, and back there in the book of Revelation, we saw a sea of glass of translucent material. Let's go on a little later. Notice verse 22, the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of a terrible crystal, or, as we saw in Revelation 4, a sea of glass, like ice, translucent. You could see partially through it. It was not opaque. Stretched forth above their heads, or over their heads above. So here you have a little more of the completion of the picture. Four creatures looking like a lion, an ox, an eagle, and a man, standing, as it were, underneath a vast sea of glass, with wings and with wheels that go and that come up, looking like all these creatures, going where the Spirit tells them to go. And it says, verse 24, as they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters. Is that engines, or is that something else? Doesn't say. But it says, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Now we see an awful lot of similarity between this and the fourth chapter of Revelation. As the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And he said later on in verse 28, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. You are reading, in both cases, in Revelation 4 and in Ezekiel 1, a description of the throne of one of the two members of the God family, the Godhead. This throne is apparently a portable one that actually was seen by Ezekiel. Now, what in the world? How do you understand this business of oxen, eagles, lions, and men? Have you ever seen some of the great museums of Europe, the British Museum, the museums of Berlin, of down in Egypt, of the Louvre in Paris? Well, I have. And if you have seen some of the unearthed, gigantic bas-reliefs, the sculpture and the statuary of that ancient world, of the ancient Assyrians, the Babylonians, then you have known that the ancient kings of the Assyrians depicted some of the creatures that are called the host of the heavens as a combination of eagles, lions, oxen, and men. Here you will have the great body, as it were, of a stalking lion. That lion will have hoofs like an ox. It will have the head of a man, and will have folded along its side the wings of an eagle. In ancient Egypt, you will see the same thing. The appearance of an eagle's body with a man's head. You will see a combination of those creatures. Now, some of the commentators have pointed out that, of course, man is superior in all the realm because he has been placed over all the works of God's hands, everything that he can see and know in the physical realm rather than the spiritual one. And what is the absolute epitome or the apex or the strongest or the most noble, the one most certainly copied and drawn and looked up to, is a great fierce-looking creature of all the feathered creatures of the earth but the eagle. He is supreme and superior to all of them. The so-called king of beasts, the most noble, the one that strikes more, I don't know what, but awe or admiration or something into people, and that is used as a symbol for great corporations like the MGM lion and for even nations and so on. Germans certainly did a great deal, even naming their tanks lions, leopards, and what have you, is the lion, the so-called king of beasts. And among all the domestic animals of the entirety of the earth, the oxen is the biggest, the heaviest, the one that is strongest, can supply the most meat, and is capable of the greatest work. So here are these creatures, in one sense, supreme in their own area. I want to go back and take you way, way back in time to the days when ancient old Adam, who was, of course, a young man, but we think about it as so far back, almost 6,000 years ago, when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Did you remember the story? Remember that he said, He placed cherubim to guard the way into the tree of life, and he would not let Adam and Eve back in there because he said these were cherubim. Now later on, many, many years later, by the time of the days of Moses, and when they crossed the Red Sea and went into the wilderness, Moses was told in giving the pattern for the original tabernacle that he was to make as a part of the decoration tapestries, and on those tapestries were to be pictures of cherubim. Isn't it interesting that neither Moses nor Aaron, having lived all those years in Egypt, said to God, Well, Father, what does a cherubim look like? How do we make a picture of a cherubim? But they knew. Turn to the 10th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, if you would. In the 10th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, you see again, verse 1 of chapter 10, Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spoke unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house. Verse 3, when the man went in, the cloud filled the inner court. Notice a little later on about the cloud and the brightness of the Eternal's glory. Verse 5, the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaks. Notice in verse 13, as for the wheels, it was quiet unto them in my hearing, O wheel, and everyone had four faces. And the first face was the face of a cherub, and the second face was the face of a man, and the third the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of an eagle. A cherub, a man, a lion, and an eagle. Which one is left out? The ox. Well, then now you begin to understand why most of the great bodies of the huge winged bulls of Bashan were like oxen. Because your Bible says in Ezekiel 10 and verse 14 that a cherub appears like an ox. It can appear as any one of these four creatures. He said in verse 15, And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Kebar. In verse 19, And the cherubims lifted up their wings. Verse 20, This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Kebar, and I knew that they were the cherubim. You don't need to wonder what these were. Ezekiel tells you what they were. There's something very interesting here, because God said that we are not to worship the host of heaven. And what was it the Israelites made? What did they use all of their earrings and those jewels and rings and everything to pour into a mold and make the minute they thought Moses wasn't coming back? They made a golden calf. You know what kind of a calf? The calf of an oxen, because the gods that the ancients worshipped were, believe it or not, cherubim, because of all of the fabulous stories that have been passed down from even the pre-flood period that were passed down through the sons of Noah and that came on down into our day and age today. Do you know that a tremendous number of the stories in mythology of winged flying creatures who guard fabulous treasure houses in which are billions of dollars in gold and jewelry and emeralds and so on, of these dragons, as they were, serpentine creatures? There's a tremendous amount of story here, because you can go back to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation and talk about the serpent, which is Satan, who was what? He was called, Thou art the cherub that covereth. In Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah the 14th chapter, he is a fallen cherubim. And God says you are not to worship the host of the heavens. Where do you think in mythology we got the idea of St. George and the dragon? Where do we get the idea of great creatures that guard with swords turning this way and that, or with flames coming out of their mouths, the treasure house at the top of the hill?